which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the ways of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to the wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me.
Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are now fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into the holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many, And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who have been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come." So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, "Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame." And the servant said, "Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room." And the master said to the servant, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
The Ten Commandments.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
The Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
There's a dark side to the gospel. Everyone is invited, but not everyone comes. Some mainly in ignorance, or of darkness, or it never seems as though it is darkness they love, but rather fields and cattle and wives and golf and sleeping in and sports, school sports, and a host of other earthly things. They don't claim to be hostile to God, they just have other things to do. Sundays are their only days to sleep in. They had a bad experience once with some pushy lady at church, or someone was rude to them in church, or they just find church boring. It's not that they hate God, it's just that they prefer to worship God in their own way and on their own convenience. So the excuse for not accepting God's invitation to the banquet each Sunday are in ready supply. There are a dime a dozen. But behind each and every excuse is really nothing else than having a load of darkness. It's hard to know how to respond to such excuses. In the parable, we see the law in full force. The Lord is angry with those who reject or refuse his invitation, and his promises that they never taste the banquet. They will be cast into the abyss where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. We should note, however, that in a different version of this parable, as recorded in St. Matthew, the invitation was sent out to those people more than once. And so also, even in St. Luke's version, We see that they are sent out to the highways and hedges to compel people to come in because there is still room. We probably all spent a little time trying to talk people into accepting God's invitation to come to his banquet. But most of the time, to our shame, we just accept their excuses. We act as though there is some legitimacy to what they say when they give their reasons. It's more comfortable to say it that way. And besides, we are professional excuse makers ourselves. So it's hard to get too upset with others, professional excuse makers. We come to church pretty regularly, but we just don't have time to pray or to read the Bible or open our catechisms or attend Bible study and so forth. Maybe the pastor said something we didn't like once in Bible study, or maybe we just don't like his teaching style, or maybe our work and family schedules are just too hectic for us to squeeze in a little devotional time. And why would we open our catechism and study them? We already jumped through that group years ago in confirmation class. No wonder we so readily accept the excuses of others for skipping out on church. We make our fair share of them ourselves. Repent. There is danger here for all excuse makers. To refuse the invitation is to love darkness. It is not okay. That, however, is not the main point of the parable. Yes, some do die and go to hell. They choose their own way. They insist on darkness. They have better things to do. But in a sense, that makes sense. Okay. It makes sense that those with options would reject the kingdom. How difficult it is for those with wealth to enter the kingdom, explains the Lord. How difficult indeed for those who have so many earthly things to keep them occupied. And so the invitation goes out to the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, and not to their houses or places of business, but the invitation goes out to them on the streets and on the byways, because this invitation goes out to beggars who cannot turn down a free meal. They need what the Lord offers. They have no options. May God in his mercy create such hunger and need in us. How difficult it is for the wealthy to enter the kingdom. Whoever does not enter the kingdom like a child shall never enter into it. Come to me who are weary. These sayings of our Lord Jesus, along with many more we could add, make it clear that while his invitation goes out to all, it is only ever truly received by those who brought to realize that they are nothing more than beggars when it comes to spiritual matters. God gathers his people from the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. We are all beggars, no matter the size of our house, the make of our automobile, or the amount in our bank accounts. We bring nothing to the kingdom. The church is not richer from our presence. The party is not more interesting because we have chosen to come. In fact, we are a drain on the kingdom's resources. We are leeches and parasites. We bring and offer nothing. But everything is given to us. We are not soldiers or landowners, and we are not wives. We are neither moral nor ceremonially pure. We are not even ethnically clean. We were not born of the right mothers. We don't belong to any king's house, let alone the king of the universe and God of Abraham. And we have no right to claim Jacob as our father and call ourselves the new Israel. We are beggars, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. But we are also the invited. The Father, despite all reason, loves and delights in our presence. He has fattened up his own Son to die for us, roasted him on the fire of his wrath, forsaken him in order to have us. And the Spirit himself has interceded on our behalf, found us in our mother's arms, naked and helpless, screaming in selfless absorption at the baptismal font, and named us as his own. The Spirit himself has come for us. The Spirit of the Father sent out into the world to bring us by the ear to holy baptism and to make us his. He has scoured the world, the highways and the hedges, for the disenfranchised, the weary, the sinful. He has brought us as beggars to the kingdom, not as holy people, but sinful people. Beggars brought at the command of the king into the courtyard. And here's the really strange thing. The king brings us into the courtyard not to be slaves or to provide entertainment for royalty. Rather, he amazingly brings us in and dirty as we are to be the bride, to be part of the royal family. And what a surprise it is for us to discover that even as we have been taken in by divine command, compelled to come and be part of the royal concubine, our Lord is a gentle lover who does not force himself upon us and does not use us for his own pleasure, but that he actually loves us, desires us, and finds us lovely. We are invited, we are called, we are loved. And we are treated by the host as though we were movie stars, Medal of Honor winners, artists and musicians of great renown, as though we were the most beautiful, interesting, and intelligent woman in the world. We are by your soul, swept up Gentiles off the highway, but declared to be God's own children, his people, his family, the bride for his holy son. The glory of God's kingdom is grace. It is showered upon the undeserving and the unworthy, but it is utterly wasted on those who think they deserve it or might earn it. Only the sick need a physician, and Jesus receives and eats only with sinners. No holy person are allowed. The self-righteous are left out. The proud remain outside. The excuse makers and lovers of the world have their reward. Jesus receives and eats only with sinners, only with beggars, only with the sick in need of the medicine he gives. God's majesty will not be robbed. He will not share with other gods. Being merely the best or the highest god in the pantheon, nor will he be worshipped by other names or in other ways. The people have chosen for themselves. He is not a god who bows to the whims of those who want him in his gifts on their terms. In their own way, according to whatever aligns with their convenience. You cannot have your cake and eat it too with God. He is a jealous God, the only God, there is none other. And he will not share his glory in the same way. He is the all-powerful God, and he will not share his power. So it is that he saves alone, by his power, in his way, in his time. Despite all the excuses and regardless of every supposed convenience, no man can save himself. No man can help God. No man can add to his salvation. And God bows to the whims of no man in doing his saving. He is a kingdom of beggars, where his glory and his power rule supreme. Now, what is wrong with our fallen ears that makes all of this sound like damning law to us? It is pride. We want our part. We want control. We want honor. We want God, but we want our own on our own terms, in our own way, according to our own convenience. And so our pride and selfishness, here's what it is, the most beautiful gospel as damning law. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. But we prideful sinners, fearful of losing our earthly treasures or missing out on the fun things that seem so vitally important to us, are convicted by such statements. Repent. But here is our hope and our confidence, dear friends. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We prideful sinners, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has been made us both one and has broken in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, in order to make us no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. What is impossible for us prideful, excuse-making sinners, God has accomplished himself. He has imparted his wisdom to us, that we might recognize that we are indeed nothing more than beggars. And to be a beggar, to have nothing, and to receive his gifts of faith and all that comes with it from God, is the greatest joy on earth and in heaven. May God in his mercy preserve the doctrine and joy among us. Preserve us from all heresy and false teachers that would pervert or subvert it. For we are all beggars, but the Father is merciful in the Son and calls us to be his own. Our salvation is finished in full. The payment has been made. The law has been fulfilled. The lamb has been sacrificed. The devil's head is crushed. Death is defeated. All of it is accomplished by the glory and power of God alone, who was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and made man to live and die for us to accomplish our salvation in full. In the same way, it is God's work alone to deliver that salvation to us. And so he does. Here in his church, which is the holy, is the banquet hall to which everyone is invited, but where only beggars feast. Be a beggar, you know yourself to be, dear friends. Yes, the prideful, selfish, excuse-making sinner in you remains, but you also have a new man in you, a regenerated spirit, who knows that you are nothing but poor, crippled, blind, lame beggar in need of God's continued grace, mercy, and love. So you repent and return to the Lord. That is the baptismal life, the life of those who are citizens of Christ's kingdom and members of his holy divine household. You deserve to do better. You desire to do better. You hear the word and respond, strengthened by the Lord himself, whose invitation to you, miserable sinners, you unworthy and undeserving beggars, resound each Wednesday and Sunday here at Peace. All is ready. Come to the Peace. I will feed you upon the sweet honey of my word and preserve you with the very body and blood I gave and shed for you on the cross for your salvation. Come, you who are weary. All is ready. Come to the feast and taste my banquet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and for pardon and for all our hearts with all our heart and with all our minds, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world and for the proclamation of the gospel and for the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of all of us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those who work is difficult and for dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry, the homeless, for the widows and orphans, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Joan Birch, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wilshire, Dick Weiser, Bill Harmon, Dick Kohler, Joyce Kohler, Ellie Shaw, and Samantha Packard, Connie Ellenbots, Tom Ellenbots, Shirley Curie, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Fred Glazer, Charles Shaw, Margaret Doobie, Lloyd and Lyle Doobie, Maxine, Lee G., Shirley Curry, Phil Warsaw, Joseph Tuck, Samantha Tuck, Ella Woods, Pastor Dan Chambers, Jenny Weiser, Dan Freed, Rosemary Riker, and for Gabriel Blair II, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, Johnny Pease, and Christopher Shaw. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for those and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Well, Lord, since you never fail to help and govern those whom you nurture in your steadfast fear and love, work in us a perpetual fear and love of your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all scripture to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen.